of forgetting. If a person would remember everything, a person would remember every single thing that happened to him in his whole life, he would go out of his mind. He would go crazy.
It's a chachma to know what to forget.
It's a chachma to know what to forget. And a person has the ability to decide what he wants to remember. How do you have the ability to decide what you want to remember? Review the things that you, by default, the default is you're going to forget everything. The only way, if you want to retain something, it takes an enormous amount of effort to continuously review what you want to remember. And what you don't review, you will automatically, that's human nature, automatically you will forget. And here, now can a person deliberately go ahead and do something to deliberately forget something? So it seems that people that are experts in the mind, these are yechidim shev yechidim, do have the ability to deliberately delete information from their head. Average person can't do this. The average person does not have the ability, not even the average person, even the most talented person does not have the ability, but it does seem from Chazal, you find this in different places, is that there are people who are have such incredible control over their mind, they have the ability, like a computer. You go to the files, you go to the file directory, and you go to the folder, and you find the file that you want, and you delete it.
And it
goes into the trash can, and then you go into the trash, and then you delete it.
It's still in
the cloud.
You can still pull it up.
So then you have to know how to go into. You have to go into down in into the actual hard drive and delete and wipe clean all the zeros and the ones. There are different techniques. Just ask people who work for the Board of Elections. They'll tell you how to do it. Okay, there's a way, but it's amazing. Just like we are appreciating, you can go and you can delete files. A person who has full mastery, control over his mind, is able to go to certain parts of his mind and delete files that are not healthy for him to remember. There's probably no one. Is there anyone alive today that has such power over his mind? Not likely.
His old apartment in Bar Ilan studying the mind in terms of false memory and.
False memory.
You have to recreate the story in a different manner. It's the same way of forgetting the real facts and recreating, because the event is harder to, but you recreate facts. And a lot of older people go
they imagine
false memory.
They have something with hypnosis, with a hypnosis.
Right, you can bring back.
Reprogram
the person. Okay, there are therapies, there's all different types, you're right, there are a lot of therapies, yeah.
There was a psychiatrist, maybe you all heard of him, Viktor Frankl.
Yes, of course.
So I just now started reading this book.
Isn't his stuff amazing?
It's unbelievable.
Isn't his stuff
amazing? And I think he's talking a little bit about the psychology, of how they got through, whoever got through it.
Humor.
He has
some incredible chiddush.
People were able to go on day to day without remembering yesterday. It was just a matter of keep going.
He's a brilliant person. It's a shame that he really wasn't too religious, doesn't seem.
That doesn't mean it's not in the recess.
He wasn't too religious.
Right. Yeah.
But he was a brilliant, I mean, his stuff is unbelievable. He knows how to write. He knows how to write like no one else.
You gotta
read his stuff. He knows how to write by the Holocaust. He managed to teach
you.
Viktor Frankl, I'm telling you, I never read anything about the Holocaust like what he wrote. He writes about what it was like. You're in the guest chambers with him. He takes you there. It's an incredible talent, koyach, and an understanding of the human mind. And one of the principles he talks about that no one will talk about, you're not going to see this in any Jewish book, is humor. That people, could you imagine, the Holocaust was 6 years. It was even more, I mean, that was just what happened. The consequences are forever. But the terror was 6 years. People made jokes. People made leitzonis. They were in the Holocaust. They were on death marches.
Yeah.
And they were joking. They were joking to one another. They were saying, this Shema's one, this one, that one. And he says the joke, and he after says that.
Right.
And he shows that the humor, as you're going into the gas chambers, is what kept you alive. And it's what gave you emuna.
That's the expression is Bach and Tzoros.
Yeah, but it's different when you have real Tzoros. When you're dealing with the Tzoros that we're talking about, it's no joke, that's for sure. But you mentioned his name, you got to read his stuff. He has incredible talent.
Does he say that it's a way of looking at the absurdity of the world?
I don't remember that.
Can be a reaction.
He took it from
Avraham
Avinu.
Okay. Well, where is Avraham Avinu? It's so you're saying very, very good.
He's standing with a Machelas, the Sheikh, the Mark says, Avraham, Avraham. So what does he end? He says, I'm there.
He
the
named
voice
him
is
here.
Calling, he's saying, Avraham, Avraham, we know you're there. So he's saying, yeah, I'm here.
He's saying, why don't you go for Yitzchak? Tzuchoyk osli alokim kol hashme Yitzchak li. After you read Viktor Frankl, go back and try to understand why Yitzchak is called Tzichok. Vatitzchak Sara Bikirbo Leymar. You'll have a whole new approach to appreciating the reaction of Sara Vatitzchak and why Hashem said you should call Yitzchak Yitzchak, and Yishmael was Mitzachek. It's a whole new world. When you appreciate the concept of what it means to make litzonis, to make jokes, and plug that into the impossibility that Sara Imenu would have a child, and dealing with everything that was going on in the world at that time, it creates a whole new world of interpretation and appreciation of how do great people survive. How do great people survive in a very cruel, mean world? It's an incredible, okay, you mentioned his name, but it's similar to what it says here in this class because there's something called besides laughter, besides making, I don't even know, the word joke is not necessarily, you have to know the right terminology, which I don't know the words, but over here there's another principle, play with the one, that is to forget. And that is a very powerful principle in this sugya, where whether we're talking about the Melech HaMashiach, or whether we're talking about Talmid Chachamim, or we're talking about Shlomo HaMelech, there is instructions here, Shimi Vas Uri'i, listen, my daughter, and comprehend. The Re over here, according to almost all the commentators, means to see. Vehati Osnech, and bend your ear. V'chol Ha'om Royim Es HaKoilos. By Kar Sinai, there was a Shemiya and a Re'iya. And the Shemiya and the ear were interchanged to see and to listen. They saw the koilos. There are many interpretations as to what that means, but it's not a coincidence that here we have these two words appear, these concepts appearing again, to see and to listen. And then we have another concept of to forget. By Har Sinai, did Hashem tell Klal Yisrael to forget their past? I don't believe so. In fact, the only thing we have about forgetting is we're warned not to forget. Not to forget Har Sinai. But was there at Har Sinai, Hashem says, listen, I'm now making you a new nation. You've been through quite a bit. You were in Egypt for 210 years. 86 of those years was terrible hardship. I want you to forget about it. No. Amalek, don't forget what they did to us. Exactly. Do not. But there are different elements of what to forget. Don't forget the evil. That you should not forget. But don't. What about forgetting the avodah zara, the hashkafas, the terrible things that you were accustomed to, that you absorbed? There's no mention, to the best of my knowledge, at Har Sinai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, I want you to forget. Forget about avodah zara. Forget about the corrupt lifestyle of Egypt. Egypt was the Erev HaSaaretz. It was the worst of the worst. It was a lewd, promiscuous country. It was a horrible experience for a from Jew to live in such an environment. Don't you think that Hashem would say, I want you now to forget about all the horrible things that you saw, you witnessed, their behavior, their lifestyle, their wokeism? Don't you think Hashem? No, there's no mention. Yet here, there is a mention. Shemidas Ui is to There are two different listenings. There is first shemivas, to listen, then there is to see, and then there is again the hati osnech. By Har Sinai there was nase, nishma, and then nase again. Look at all the farshim. The first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael that Hashem wants to give them the Torah, they answered Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Naase. And then later in Mishpatim it says Naase V'Nishma. I forgot the entire whole sequence of events. But there are two Naases.
Right.
There's a Naase, there's a Nishma, and then there's a Naase. In this pasuk, there's a nishma, a nase, and a nishma. The nase is sandwiched by a double nishma. So there's something. Now, if you learn that we're referring over here to Talmidei Chachamim, and Talmidei Chachamim that automatically connects you to Har Sinai, Haloi Dova. Why is there a shemivas? Then it says Uri is to see. Okay, seeing. Okay, I'm really confusing different concepts of listening, seeing, and hearing. All right, let's put it all aside. But there is definitely a double listening, and then it says the shichi and to forget amit, forget your nation, according to Rashi, which we read Rashi outside. Rashi going to deal with Talmidei Chachamim, and the Talmidei Chachamim being instructed to forget their environment, the environment of Avera. Look at the Rashi. Rashi says the shichi amit ha'umois sha'at gedela beinehem. Forget about the nations which you have grown amongst them. Living in America, okay, America is the Medina Shel Chesed. This Mitzvah Shabbos, I went to a shir, I heard of a Laza Ginsburg. I don't know why he said it in the middle of the shir, throughout. He said a story there. I think it was Old Yashiv, Zechat Sagan of Rach. I think it was Old Yashiv, where a person. He borrowed money to marry off one of his children, or he borrowed money, or maybe it was a Moisad. They borrowed a lot of money. So he said to Yashiv, this person, how am I allowed to borrow money? I don't really have the ability to pay it back. It's going to be a very big struggle. It's going to be a very, very big struggle to manage to pay back the money. So I just won't borrow the money. So it seems that Yashiv told him he should borrow the money. And he said to him, but then he said, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if you don't have the ability to pay back, you're not allowed to borrow. So he said to him, as long as there's an America in this world, that halacha doesn't apply. Because America is a repository of chesed, incredible wealth. Listen, they're not giving me money, but people who know how to tap in to the right people in the right time in the right place are able to achieve very great things by
you don't have to marry more, will cancel the loan.
No, it didn't mean that. In those days the government didn't cancel them, but he meant to say people fun way to say this. I don't know, listen, I'm not in fundraising, I have no idea if it's true or not. But I heard this from a lot of people, is that there's a lot of money out there. And you just have to know how to get it. 99% of people who go collecting don't know how to tap in to the wealth, to the money that's out here.
Is it right to marry off his daughter with a minimum of wedding? I mean, they just have like 50 people.
Some people do that. Not in America, but in Eretz Yisrael, the standards are very, very different. Eretz Yisrael, it's a whole different world.
You can't afford, you can't do
you
it.
That's right, 100% you can't afford, 100%. The expense in Eretz Yisrael is not the wedding. They make many people who can't afford, they make very, very modest weddings. The expense of buying an apartment. Hey, that's not a discussion over here. But he said, instead of everything, he said in America, there's incredible bracha. You need obviously enormous siyata d'shmaya to be able to know how to fundraise. And what people say this is that there's an enormous amount of wealth out there, and people want to give also. You need incredible siyata d'shmaya to know how to succeed. So he said, if there's an America in this world, a Medina Shel Chesed, don't worry, let the yeshiva borrow the money, and the yeshiva will figure out with siyata d'shmaya how to collect, how to tap into people who want to give. It's an incredible thing what he said. America is, America changes Shulchan Aruch. It changes the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to borrow. I don't remember all the details. I don't know the halacha, obviously, all the nuances. But it, according to halacha, you're not allowed to borrow money if you don't have the means of paying back. And he said, if there's an America, that automatically means you do have the means to pay back. There are people out there that want to give, have what to give. You need a lot of success, a lot of talent to know who those people are and to persuade them that this is the place where you should give your money to. They're anyway going to give money, so just persuade them where to give their money to. Memela, the halacha changes. Pilei Klein. It's a shocking chiddush.
I mean, there's borrowing and there's borrowing.
Of course, obviously, everything has to be taken in balance. Everything has to be taken in balance.
Borrowing for business, which is a whole different story. Who says you should get in over your head?
100%. We're talking over here. Everything has to be taken in balance, and obviously, but it's an interesting thing that he said. Over here, going back to over here, it says, how do we even get to this? It says over here, the being of the Talmid and Chachamim. You're in America. America is a wonderful country, incredible chesed. But obviously, we all know that we've all been influenced. We've all been influenced in a non-kosher way from the Seviva, from the Hashkafa, that is totally alien, and the antithesis of the values of the Torah. And it's a very difficult balance between living in this country and taking the good and forgetting the bad. It's an impossible task. But that is what Rashi says is the job here, is the shikhi, to forget. To forget, Rashi, the very powerful Rashi, forget amecha umois, sha'at gedela b'neihem. Forget about the nations in which you live, in which you grow up in their environment, and you are certainly influenced by values of the country that are not your values. Okay? Then the pasuk base v'yis of Hamelech Yafiach. And then the Melech, who's the Melech Hashem? According to Rashi, the Melech of Yafiach, the Melech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will want you. He will have a Lord of Yisrael, and say, beautiful Lord of Yisrael, a desire for you. Your beauty, the beauty of your ways. Ki hu Adonayich, because He Hashem is your master. V'hishtach avilo, bow to Hashem. Hashem, you bow to Hashem. Uvasor. Now here's where it gets complicated according to Rashi. Uvasor, and we did this a little last week, and Uvasor b'mincha, ponayich yichalu ashireon. So we rearranged the words and we said that sor, uvasor, which is just basically a title for the wealthiest nation of the world, the basar, we skip the words, who are the ashirei om, who are the wealthiest nation in the world, you would say it's America, b'mincha, the day will come, when the Sheikh will come, b'mincha, with a gift, panayich yichalu, they will present your panim with a gift. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi, it says, k'mo v'yichal ma'yishu, word panim, yichalu means they will supplicate. They will beseech. They will make a request. They will humble themselves to a degree. Uvischarzem tiski shayavi ulich esof harasha eshkorim v'dayrod. So last week, Michal told me that the word eshkor means a tribute and a gift. Oysam shehim achshav ashirei ha'am. They, according to Rashi, will appreciate the Talmidei Chachamim. How? When we forget them. This is counterintuitive. You would think that in this country, they want you very much to think about the do things that is Alam Chappelle, what's going on with Jewish education today. Today there is, in New York State, there is hostility towards all of the yeshivas. Okay, whether they're right or wrong is a very big debate going on. Not everyone is whatever. Not to go into all the details. You know better than me. You read the music just like I do, and you know better than me. But there are a lot of problems going on today, and let's, for the moment, I mean, by the good convention, I didn't go to the session, by the good convention of Shmuel, this is a hot session, I woke up late. This is really the only session I wanted to go to. And my mazel, I woke up late. I just kind of slept right through it. It was, you had to go to the Hashkalim. There was a Vesikin meeting at 6:15.
Shabbos
morning, 6:15. Last year I went to that meeting. It was a beautiful meeting. It's a very big meeting. Everyone, you have to pay people go to that meeting. And then...
That's where Rabbanim go?
A lot of them go there. A lot of people go there. There's a 6:15 meeting. After the 6:15 meeting, of course, there's a lavish Kiddush. And then after lavish Kiddush, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky was scheduled to speak. And last year he didn't come. Last year his son came. Rav Shalom Kamenetsky spoke last year, and it was fascinating. He spoke, and what was the topic? The topic was secular education in high schools. And the one who really led the way was Morty Melman. Morty Melman, he's all over the place there. You think he owns the place. Wherever you look, there he is.
Well, because he and Shimon Lefkowitz own the place.
He asked all the questions, and he really pressed Shalom Kamenetsky very hard on issues of secular education for high school boys, and Shalom Kamenetsky said incredible stuff, incredible chidushim, which is not for now. So this year, his father was there. Shmuel Kamenetsky, he should live forever. He should be good and well, be healthy. He's not a youngster, he was there. So this year he was gonna actually speak, and so that was after the first minyan. So I woke up late, chaval. So I went to the regular minyan, which I don't regret, because it was an incredible minyan. I never saw such a thing like this. They had a choir like I never saw before.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It takes forever.
It wasn't so bad. I don't know. And
if
then
come in late, it's not so
and
good.
Then and they had a choir. It was very. I never saw this my whole life. I'm from a farm. I never in my whole life ever went to a minyan where there was a choir. I mean, Kabbalah Shabbos, okay, it was once in a while a kolbach Kabbalah Shabbos, but Shacharis Shabbos with a chazan and a whole choir for Shacharis and for Musaf. To me, this was a novelty. I never saw such a thing like this before my whole life, and it was a phenomenal bal kriya. And they had a really good drasha, the Novominsk Rebbe's son, one of his sons. I never heard of his son. There are two Novominsk Rebbe's. This is one from Lakewood. So he spoke for a good half an hour. Excellent. He spoke very, very well. It was very, very nice. So I didn't regret it, but I did regret that I missed another Shmuel Kamenetsky. Shmuel Kamenetsky, so I got a report. Basically, they really, really asked him very tough questions, and he basically didn't want to answer any of the questions. That was the report that I got from a few people. He refused to answer the questions, and he basically said, every boy has to know how to read and write. Every boy has to learn proper. I don't know the details. Rabbi Mathematician over here, I don't know the problem, exactly what he said, but basically says, every boy has to have a secular education in this country. It must be done.
Rabbi, I told you I was in the doctor's office waiting.
Boys are not assigned your name. I know.
They couldn't answer the questionnaire for the doctor.
It's a tragic. It's a horrible tragedy.
They couldn't read and answer the question.
It's a horrible tragedy.
They never heard of dialysis.
It was in Yiddish. It's a horrible tragedy. I'm not here to debate this. You're right. So this is a big, big topic. It's a big topic, and he has a very strong opinion on this, and many other people also have a strong opinion. Okay, that's not a topic over here. But why over here? Over here, it's interesting that today really, it's going to bring up the point of wisdom as possible. Over here, according to Rashi, reading Rashi, which it seems to say is that the government here is coming down very, very hard on the yeshiva system. Why they're not teaching. It's not just they want you to teach how to read and write, okay, and then that everyone will basically the right, but they want you to teach wokeism, the curriculum
well,
now.
That's down the road. Yeah.
It's even now. No, I spoke to someone who's mamash about this. He told me a lot of reasons. Money. We're talking about money. The government giving money to the yeshivas.
Yes. Eventually.
It's
yeah,
even now they'll
start with the basics, but you know what's coming.
You know, so they very much want us to embrace their culture. their culture. And this pasuk says it's just the opposite. It says mamish the opposite. It says over here that what should we do? We should forget their culture. Look what it says here in this pasuk. In this pasuk itself, it says v'shikhi amech, forget the culture of your host country. Forget it. And if you will forget it, guess what? They're going to love you. It says uvasar, if you will forget their culture, you will not listen to them. Ultimately, they'll come and they'll give you a big thank you. It says uvasar. Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is the Mimosa Mashiach, right? We're not telling you what's going on today. I just want to point out the irony of the reality versus what it says here in this pasuk. They're telling you to embrace their culture. And the pasuk here says, don't listen. V'shikhi ameich uva'veis ovich. Forget your host country's culture. Jump to pasuk yubeis. And you know what the result's going to be? Uvasar. Vasar means America, New York State. You know what's going to happen? Who are the Ashirayam? They got all the money. They got so much money, you can't even believe. They know how to redistribute the wealth. They've stolen all the money from everyone else. What are they going to do at the end? B'mincha. Panayich yichalu. Read Rashi. Rashi, uvasar, pasuk gimel, kimoy v'yichal moshe, uvischar zeh. Rashi adds these words in reward for what it said in the previous pasuk, forgetting their culture. Tiski, you will merit. Sheyavilech esav horosha. Eshkorim v'doyroim. These wicked people. He doesn't hold back, Rashi. He doesn't hold back. He calls them wicked. Wicked. They will bring you tribute and gifts. Oysam sheheim achshav. Those who are now the Ashirei Om. The wealthiest of the nations. So, obviously, this is not today. Today, but ultimately, it will be acknowledged. I want to bring you to... okay, let's go further. Now, this is the parish of Rashi. Now, let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim says something fascinating. There's one little piece in the Malbim. The Malbim learns that Kilashita said that this entire section is dealing with what? Is dealing with Bas Tzor. Shloimoy HaMelech is getting married. Mazel Tov. He's getting married. L'choir is getting married in the lifetime of his father. Right? Shloimoy HaMelech has son. What, he married many women. Shlomo had many wives.
He was only 8 years old.
I don't know. Shlomo HaMelech married many, many women. And it's, according to the Mitzvah, according to the Malbim, one of the wives in the entire Mizmar is describing his wedding. Who did he marry? He married a non-Jewish woman. Right? The daughter of Tzar. Taya. Right? Tzar was his partner in... was his partner in building the Beis HaMikdash. The king of Tsar had at his disposal craftsmen, had precious materials. He had resources that it was necessary for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and he partnered with Melech Tsar to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he was in the shadow. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf. Good morning. And what did he do? He partnered with him to build the Beis HaMikdash. And in the process, he decided, you know what? And in the process, he married the daughter of the king of Tzar. That's what it says, it's Beferish. And now they're getting married. And these few certain pasuk, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, are giving instructions to the Kala. Now when you're under the chuppah, We're gonna convert you to Judaism, and we're telling you that you should forget about Avodah Zarah, forget about the culture before you marry the king of the Jewish people. You, the Kala, you non-Jewish woman, we want to properly convert you, and we're giving you instructions. According to the Malbim, these psukim become the template. What's a better word? It becomes the instruction guide for every ger tzedek.
The protocol
for every ger tzedek. Look at the Malbim. Shimi vas pasuk yud aleph. Atah now Yosef hamisharer ponav el hakala. Until now we're describing Shloimoy HaMelech. All these beautiful psukim. He's sitting on the heichal, the heichle shein. he's surrounded by all the, you know, he's about to get married, the Shegal is on his right side, he's under the chuppah.
Did she convert for the right reasons?
Oh, that's the question. So right now we're telling, we're giving instructions to the Kala. Until now, in this whole Mizmah, we are addressing Shalomai. We are describing his majesty. We are describing this magnificent wedding. This wedding between Shalomai and the daughter of Tsar. And now, after we've already described in such poetic and beautiful terms what the Chassan looks like and what's going on with the Chassan, but the Chassan's Tish. Now, let's go to the smorgasbord.
Okay.
And let's go to the center of attention, the Kala, surrounded by all these women, by the Kala, right? By the Kala. Let's go and see what's doing over there. And now the Meshurer says, Ata Yosef HaMeshurer Ponev Al HaKala, Shini Ma She'oimar Loch, listen what I say to you. V'shikhi Amech, Hainu, She'tisgayer, forget where you come from. If you're joining the Jewish people, we demand of you for you to forget everything that you about your past. Forget your father's home. So that you have to forget about your father, because so that you will remain loyal to your husband. Then the Melech will desire your beauty. Hamelech hu Yisav, he will desire. V'yisoer, okay, two words which I don't know the difference between the two. V'yisoer es yofyech, b'ma shehu adonayich, ikar yofyech yiyen ma shehamelech hu adonayich, ulochein shimi bas, bow to your husband. Woo-hoo! Bow down to your husband. I know someone told me a few times, there was a certain person who spoke at the Agudah convention many years ago, and he was never invited back to speak because in his address he described what a wife should do for her husband.
Oh my God.
And he said things that were a little
too... Is this on the women's side he said this?
He said this. I don't know who said this to, but someone told me a few times. Do you know why this Yeshiva never ever speaks at the Aguda conventions? Because a couple of years ago, he said he gave us shmuz about marriage, about the husband's relationships, and how the wife basically has to treat her husband like a king. And he gave some examples of what a wife should do for her husband, and that was the end. And I'm not joking here. So we hear this exactly what it says here in this pasuk. It says here in this pasuk that the beauty of the wife is her loyalty. They wouldn't let David either come to the Agudah convention, trust me. The beauty of a woman is her loyalty to her husband, how she adores her husband. And therefore, look, the Yisav, when you will, look at the Pasuk Yiraf, according to the Malbim, Shini Vas. Vas here means literally daughter, because the daughter here is the daughter of Tsar. She is the Kala. Listen, Uri'i, comprehend, Vihati Oznech, bend your ear. Multiple expressions of listen to what we're telling you. Fully absorb this lesson. You're now about to marry Shlomo HaMelech. You come from a geisha environment. You went to public school. You grew up watching television, going to the movies. Listen, you're now marrying the king of the Jewish people. Shalomah HaMelech. HaMelech Shehasholem. It's a shocking thing. This whole thing is impossible for us to comprehend how Shalomah HaMelech married non-Jewish women. There are no Jewish girls. Call the Shadchan and there are plenty of Jewish girls.
What? His wives were Jewish?
No, they were not Jewish. They were not Jewish, his wives.
Concubine has to be Jewish? No.
No. It seems that most of his wives were not Jewish. Okay.
Because non-Jewish wives don't come with a shriga.
Who says they don't? Who says, look at Obama, he had a shriga there and lived in the White House with him.
Because the guy who married the girl.
She lived. She lived in the White House. She took care of all the kids. She died. No, she died not that long ago. She took care of all. She raises children, not his wife. She was very good to him.
A lot of these were political marriages, as you know,
so you're saying they're political. They didn't mamash live with her. They're political marriages. What does that mean exactly? What's the purpose of a political marriage?
These
are very, very hard to understand. You have to live in the in times to comprehend what this means.
He ruled the whole world. So
what does it mean in a political marriage?
So to cement alliances, this was done all through Europe. I mean,
he didn't rule. They used to live, with each other? They used to live together?
Not necessarily.
So what's the matter from getting married? They're not going to live together. I don't know. This is something that's really, in today's world, there are alliances today in today's world. They don't, no one does this. This is unheard of.
Look at the...
because we don't have kings.
Of course you do. The Russians have the Moscow University. All the Africans have that. There and everything.
We, Victoria, had five children that were kings of various countries in Europe.
Okay, whatever it is. According to the Malibu...
The British monarchy were all British. There were Germans and there were British and there were
political alliances. You solidify your authority by marrying the children of your competitors, and that way they're not going to make a war with you because they don't want to hurt your own children. It's a technique to get of insurance. If I'm married to your daughter, you're not going to fight with me because you don't want to go harm your grandchildren. Okay, the Hasidim do this. Okay, there are. You know, when you marry your cousin, they marry because they want to keep in the family. That's not the reason why. But you marry your cousin. By the way, you know the Rav Chaim Kanievsky was very, very against marrying cousins.
First cousin.
What?
He didn't marry a cousin.
First cousin, even second cousins. He was very, very against marrying cousins. Of Chaim Kanievsky. People don't listen to him. Even the second cousin.
Why?
Because his Messiah was dangerous. Dangerous. That was his Messiah. No, I don't think it would be a chassid.
But after the war, they
didn't have to.
Pisken halacha, people are very selective. They're very selective in what they want to listen to. They worship a gadol. Rav Moshe Feinstein. There are many pisken halacha people do not accept. There are many pisken halacha. Rav Chaim Kanievsky. People refuse to obey. Anyone that would ask about marrying a cousin would say no. Don't marry a cousin. And people many. They're darn
good. They knew about gene pool. They knew about the gene pool.
They did. Yeah. They did know.
Not
so long ago. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is current. He died last year. He died a year ago. But he died a year ago. Rav Chaim, the gene pool issue goes back over. Everyone knows the fact at least 100 years. Sure.
Sure.
What was his opinion about
the show? I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's very pro. I read in the book. It was very interesting to me about Shir. One of the topics that we did Shir, Rav Chaim Kanievsky on Shidduchim. We spent a day or two on it. So one of the big chapters is relatives, and again and again, this thing comes up again and again. He was very, very against marrying a cousin. No, anyone that would ask him should marry a cousin, even a second cousin, he said no. He just flat out said no. Do people listen to him? A lot of people didn't listen to him because they know whatever the reasons are. They're limited. Okay, whatever the case is, over here he says, Shimi Vas. The Vas here is the daughter of Tsar, a person. With instructing this young lady to forget where you come from. And when you forget where you come from, the Yisof HaMelech Yafiech, your husband. The Melech here refers to Shloimeh. He will then desire you and your beauty. What is your beauty? It's a pella what he says over here. Your beauty is not your physical appearance. Your beauty is not your good deeds. Your beauty is your loyalty to your husband. It's a shocking translation of the word Yoifi. Yoifi, we learn in this parak, Yoifi very often means good deeds. A woman is beautiful, it's in Chazal, it means she's beautiful in her good deeds. That was how Christianity came into existence. Yeshu, Yeshu, Rabbi Shimon Prachya. He said to Yeshu that this woman, this innkeeper, is beautiful. So his student, Yeshu said, Rabbi Shimon Ben Prachya.
He made a statement and Yeshu misinterpreted.
Misunderstood. They went down to Alexandria Shaul Mitzrayim.
That's not the Yeshu, because that's a fool.
Right, there are many Yeshus. There are a few. There are different Yeshus.
Yeshu Ben Prachya was around the time of Hanukkah story.
Right, so they different the whole time, but that was like the early, the first guild. Maybe you're right, maybe it was something totally different. Maybe it was a completely, whatever it is, but that was a very big Takola Kippur in Shaul, where he said to his student, Yeshu Ben Prachya, he said to the student Yeshu, that they went down to Alexandria Shaul Mitzrayim. He was on the run. The government wanted to kill him. He fled with his student, and they spent time at an innkeeper. And the innkeeper, this woman, was extremely gracious and kind and hosted Yeshu Ben Prachya. And when they left, he said to the student, "This woman is beautiful."
Has beautiful eyes, I think it says.
Beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
No, no, so he said back, no, so the student said back, Rebbe, when it comes to women, that's not your expertise. You may know how to learn a Tosfos, and know how to tell a Rav Chaim, but Rebbe, don't start telling us about Noshim. If you want to know about women, come to me, I'll tell you. If you're looking for a Shidduch, Rebbe, come to me. This woman is not beautiful. Her eyes are ugly. Her eyes are not... Rebbe, trust me when it comes to women. So Rabbi Shimon Rachi says, "You Russia, you thought that when I said this woman is beautiful, I was referring to her physical appearance. You lowlife. That's what you think of me. I meant her deeds. Her Meisim Toivim are beautiful.
Yes.
And in fact, her Midos, Meisim Toivim, and in fact, we're here in this Mizmor, in the first one, talking about Yoifi refers to the Meisim Toivim. The Meisim Toivim, and because that creates friction between the Rebbe and the Talmud. Fine, we're going over here back. The beauty of this pasuk over here is your beauty is the fact that you are loyal to your husband. Vehishtachaviloi, and then it says this incredible statement, and therefore you bow to your husband. This is a real shaka. Okay, Vassar, one more. Malbum pasuk Gimel. After we speak about the Kavod HaMelech, we're now going to describe the journey to the Badekin. He's now going to come to the Kaala. The Chassan Shloimoi is now going to come to the Kaala to take the Kaala to his Rishus. The Sham Nitzva, there is going now to his wife, to the abode of his wife. The Sham there Nitzva, she is standing in Benois Malachim, Behir and Medesh as the bridesmaids. Okay, the bridesmaids, sounds like a real royal wedding. Behi Oy Medesh, Liyamin HaMelech, then she stands to the right side of the king, V'Hamashar Medaber Elecha, Shetekabel, look what it says over here. Now it's time for you to be Mekabel, Dos Yisrael. Jewish law, this Sishtach Avel LeMelech, and now under the chuppah, bow down to the Melech. Woohoo! Look at this. Prince Charles already had his. They have it already.
No.
His coronation.
No.
Okay, bow down. There's a famous picture of Queen Elizabeth when Queen Elizabeth, her husband bowing down to her, when she became queen, bowing down to her. So we have to see it.
That was the last time.
That was the last thing he bowed. He's not good to him. This Sishtachavel Melech Adoneha. Ato now. He giu gidoyle tsar v'yashirecha. Now, who's coming to the wedding? All the great people of tsar v'yashirecha. They view la mincha. And they're going to bring to her, to the kala, a wedding gift. Mincha yikaro lichvoida. Ha meshorer oimer at basar hinei ashir am mitzar yichalu panecha b'mincha. The next thing we're going to describe, what is the gift? So there's an incredible, incredible description. I mean, unbelievable what it says over here. According to the Mal, Mam over here, singers over here, and the over here. The chuppah. We describe over here the marriage ceremony of Shlomo HaMelech to Basar, where she's under the chuppah. She's there surrounded by her bridesmaids. and the chosin is coming to her, and now they're telling her, you should forget about your history, where you come from, your lifestyle, your hashkafa from tsar, and you should be mekabel das Yisrael, be mekabel Jewish law, accept the part of Jewish law, and you should be loyal to your husband and bow down before your husband. This really leaped off the page when I read this, because under the chuppah, what does the chassid say to the kala? Harei at mekudesh asli, betabazu, and what are the next words? Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Woohoo! Isn't that fascinating? Now, why do you have to say that? Okay, so until I saw this, I mean, obviously because there are many reasons why you say it. And one of the reasons you should know is that it's an escape clause. It basically can retroactively nullify the marriage retroactively in the case. There is a reason why Chazal seek to save Mamzer. A man marries a woman. When he gets married, he puts in insurance. I'm marrying you only Kedas Moshe, the law of Moshe and the Yisrael. What does that mean? If the rabbis, Moshe, representing the rabbis of the Jewish people, see to it that this marriage is not a good idea, then the marriage is null and void right now. Maybe even 50 years later, it will be determined that today we never got married. Oh, but we have already children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. No, those children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are born, were born out of wedlock. So it's a problem, but the world goes on. So they were born out of wedlock. It's not the first time it happened that a man and woman had relations and had a child and they were not married. So that will be the result, that the children that we have were not really married. So our marriage, of course, a person, the kedusha of marriage is that we should be married. There's a need of kedusha, no question about it. But it's kedas Moshe, the Israel, the rabbi should see fit that this marriage should remain endure. When there are two examples that the Gemara gives, when the rabbis they annul the marriage retroactively based on this clause. Number one, if a man later gets divorced, he decides to get divorced and he throws his wife a get, and the get lands in between him and her. So it's they're both in the street, and no one has ownership of the property, and the get lands in between him and her, and in halach it cannot be determined, and then the get disappears. Bizarre case, right? It's a bizarre situation. Whatever the situation is, then the halach is, and then what happens? The halach is in such a case where the get lands in between him and her, and it's not closer to him or her, then Chazal annul the marriage retroactively, even if they got married 50 years ago. The other case, which is a little more simple to understand, and it's problematic, is where a man sends a get to his wife, he gives his wife a get, and he sends it with an agent, and then after the agent leaves his presence, he makes a declaration, I cancel the agency. I cancel the agent from being my agent. He's no longer my shaliach. And then the messenger continues to deliver the get to the woman. The woman does not know that the agent has been canceled. She looks at the get, it's a kosher get, and she remarries. So in such a case where a man does something like this, he does this to Tavila Hachas, to mess to that she should have mamzerim. Right, she does not know that she is still married to him, and then she marries someone else, and she has a child, and that child's a mamzer. So what's the mamzer supposed to do? So in order to prevent this, in order to save the mamzer, Chazal annulled the marriage retroactively because they said kedas Moshe the Yisrael.
No,
two examples.
No,
what the mamzer? Unfortunately, they sometimes find out. They find out, a woman admits that my child, a woman that's married for 50 years, and she says, he calls on her child, I want to tell you something, you're not my child. I had you from another person. It's extremely complicated. A woman is not even believed to say this generally, Okay, there are a lot of halachas regarding this. It's very complicated. So yeah, I don't know even the aleph bays. It's not for me to comment on this. I don't know anything about this.
That's why the Gemara says as soon as he gives it to the shliach acts as an agent for her. So they are divorced.
Mr. Mills, you have to appreciate something. In halacha, we have to appreciate this. Halacha does not always follow reality. It's a very, very important thing.
They always ask a question. So 200 years ago, some of the family ancestors screwed up.
So that's exactly the point. The point is, That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. It's very hard to appreciate this. Halacha does not follow reality. There could be many cases in halacha where a woman is married to a husband, and then she goes, she has a relationship with someone that's not her husband.
Well,
she's
could she
an,
be raped? And she
in a chanami, she's an ashes ish, and she has a child, and the child technically is a mamzer, and the mamzer is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. However, due to technical circumstances, she is not believed to testify what really happened.
Therefore, he is not a mamzer.
Even though physically he is a product of a man that is not her husband, and you would say the reality is he's a mamzer. There's a world of halacha and there's a world of reality. The world of reality and science, the science reality does not necessarily coincide, does not necessarily coexist together to the world of halacha. But in these situations where a child indeed is physically a mamzer, but yet in the world of halacha, he's not. He's a kosher Jew. Because halacha has its own set of rules. And when everything is said and done, we follow halacha, not the world of reality, not science.
Not DNA.
Not DNA, not science. It's a very difficult principle to understand because how could that possibly be? The Torah was given in this world and we have to follow science. Well, generally, 99.999% of the time we do, and the halacha is anchored in the world of science. But sometimes things deviate, and when things deviate for reasons that are not ideal, obviously, then there are situations where at the end of the day, halacha is what decides, not science.
Yeah, it's very simple. A woman had a child from either it's a rape or a relationship with a non-Jew. And the kid is the color, let's say a different color. You say you write Bila's Bila Sabal, and you don't, and he's not a mamzer, 100%.
You don't believe what, right, exactly. I don't know the problem. I can't talk about this. I don't know even the alibis about this. But there are many, many examples where halacha does not follow. All right, so this is an incredible pasuk.
A kedushin al minas b'tirayim.
Okay, let's just do. I just want to may look the mamar chazal.
Kedushin al minas.
What?
A kedushin al minas.
Oh, a kedushin, no such thing.
Al minas, so they can give me $100.
Yeah. Okay, so you can make all these conditions. Fine, you can make these conditions, but we don't do the Messiah now. So, why did I bring this up? Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. So, this is how I always understood this. I always understood the reason why you said to the Chuppah, Hayat Mikudesh Asli, the Tabazu, you're married to me with this Tabaz according to Jewish law. Why is that necessary? Just say, we all know a rule in Judaism, less is more. Once you open up your mouth and you start saying more words, you're just looking for trouble. So is it part of the standard Nusach, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael? Scrub it. What do we need to say? What are you looking for trouble? So the answer is, the basic answer, all Mepharshim says, because there are situations where Chazal will annul a marriage retroactively. I remember reading a story that I believe it was with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and if I'm not, maybe I'm mistaken, but it was one of the Gedolei Yisrael, the highest caliber, where it was brought to their attention that there are some very good kinderlach in cheder that due to some unusual situation are mamzer. The mamzer, that this woman she is married to someone, and there is some type of situation, and now this woman, she thought she was divorced, whatever happened, she remarried, she had children with another husband, she remarried, and now her children are mamzerim.
She was a Holocaust survivor. She got a bez mitzvah that she could remarry.
Okay.
She married in Canada. She went to a trip to Israel. And in Israel,
she met her husband.
Her husband and her children, she came to Israel to visit them in Panovich.
Were learning in Panovich, and here she meets her first husband. The children are mamzerim, l'chol hadeos. Her husband is alive and walking around, and she's living with this other person. And the children, so, and she wasn't with her husband, so the children are mamzer. So what do you do about this?
You gotta take Mishnei.
What?
Instead of take Mishnei. If she got married based on...
But she had a head.
It doesn't matter. The husband is, in this case, the halacha is the fact that the husband is alive.
So it's Yaitse Mishnei.
Right. She's Yaitse Mishnei. But what, yeah, so the halacha, she has to get divorced. She has to get divorced from her second husband, the Mishnah. She has to get divorced from her second husband. But what about, right? She has to separate. She has to separate from her, and she's not allowed to go back to her first husband. She needs a get from her first husband. Okay, fine. So she now has to separate from the second and not allowed to go back to the first. What about the children? The children are mamzerim. They're living in Panovich. No one's going to marry them. What's going to happen with them? They have a miserable life. What's going to be with them? So the Gedolei Yisrael of that time, today, I don't know if there are Gedolei of this caliber today that would be willing to do this. They went, they brought the first husband and her, and they had her have him give her a get, and either they did, the get was put in between him and her.
No, they gave him
He gave her the get, and the
and
get
then
was...
they took him to another room, and they made him be Mevatel.
The Mevatel, the Shlichus, that's what they did?
Yeah.
They took him, he gave the get to a Shaliach, to an agent. And then they took him to another room and they told him to cancel the shliach, and the shliach gave the get to the woman. This is the case where it says the Ferish in the Gemara, that in this case where husband gives it, make his points an agent, and the agent then he cancels the agent, and the agent continues to give the woman the get. In this case, the marriage is annulled retroactively. So she was never ever married to her first husband. Therefore, when she lived with the second husband, it was a good marriage. If it was a good marriage with the second husband, then the children are not mamzerim.
How about the children from the first husband?
She didn't have.
That story that she didn't have in the first marriage. So let's say there were children from the first husband, so they're not mamzerim. They're just out of wedlock. Right. Those children then are children that were born. Are considered to be lacking the yichus, the kedusha of having of being born out of with a marriage. They're born out of wealth. They're not mamzerim. They're not mamzerim. So they did this. So how were they able to do this? Because when the first husband married her, he said to her, "I'm marrying you, kedas Moshe, the Yisrael, according to the law of Moshe, the rabbis, and the Jewish people. And if the rabbis and the Jewish people will one day decide that this marriage is no good, they don't like this marriage, because if we're going to be married, that means the next set of children are going to be mamzer, like what happened in this case, then they have the power to annul the marriage. That's why in a marriage you have this clause of kidas Moshe the Yisrael. This is old Torah. We read this Malbim, the Malbim gives you a whole new appreciation, and that is when Shlomo married Basar, he told her, "I'm marrying you, Harat Mikudesh Asli, Bitabazu, Kidas Moshe the Yisrael. Convert. Don't come into marriage, marry me, whether this is a political marriage or whatever it is, it's going to be according to Jewish law. You, by marrying me, you have to," that's almost like a condition, "you have to abandon your old ways, your culture, and you have to come into my tent, into my lifestyle, my values, my Torah." Look again, look at the words of Pasuk Gimel. This gives a whole new meaning of when you say Kedas Moshe Yisrael. Also, you'll say maybe that's going to marry a Geiris. But when you marry a Beis Yaakov girl who knows more than you, so maybe then Adrava, she should say to him, "When you get married to me, you better make sure you get up early to daven with the minyan every day. And you better be a good person.
This is good that all that Avonim agree. But in our day and time,
Avonim
doesn't agree. We have the
Ivanka
Trump, the conversion.
Okay, you're right. Today, we live in a very divided world. Today, you never hear stories like this. You never hear stories like this. I told you the old story with Rybelski. At least that's where I heard the story. Is with, you know, there's another way out of a marriage. Is where if you discover something, had you known, Rabbi Rachman wanted to push very hard for this, and he was shot down very, very hard. That if you discover, let's say an aguna, a woman is an aguna, her husband refuses to give her a get, 20 years. Well, had I known that my husband is such a wicked person and would torture me like this for 20 years, I never would have married him. So that's called a kiddushei tos. It's a mistake. It's an error. I didn't know. There is such a thing in the Gemara.
Yes.
The kiddushei tos. So the people have come along recently and have decided a woman marries a person and they find out things that are just literally off the charts. Off the charts that you can't even begin to imagine. Even the craziest mind, the most creative, cannot even imagine what they discover. And Mimela, there is no way any living person in this room would have entered into this situation. And they want to annul the marriage with Kiddushei Tos. So there was a story, at least was I heard the story, maybe it's not true, but this is what I heard many, many years ago, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong, where Rabbi Belsky, he went and he issued a Kiddushei Tos. Person got married, they discovered things that are beyond belief, and he said, you don't need a get, he's making you into an aguna, that's it, you're done, I'm going to write you a document that it's a kiddushei tos, you're free, you go back on the market and get remarried. He then got a call, supposedly, from Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv said to Rabelsky, you're 100% correct, you're psak halach, Rabelsky was a psak like none other. You are 100% correct, but I beg you, retract your psak.
Open Pandora talk.
Because once you do this, you're going down, what's going to be with this woman? I don't know what's going to be with this woman. But what's going to be with Klal Yisrael if you do this? Once you do this, you know what's going to happen? Go down 10 years from now, get married. If I knew that my wife doesn't know how to make dinner just the way that I like, just perfect. No, the steak, it's just not done with the right spices, and it's just not as tender as they make in the restaurant.
She's not burning.
So had I known that I would marry a woman that just doesn't know how to, you know,
understand good food,
I never would have married her. No way, you know me, I like food.
He should have married a good Hungarian cook.
Had I known, I never would have married her, and therefore, we don't need a get, it's Kiddushei Tos. Where are you going to draw the line? This is a dangerous world, people have crazy ideas, and once you start...
What is he going to save, like?
What?
He's going to save his super money, right?
Yeah!
Give her a gift.
Or she'll say, how do I know my husband wakes up late to daven? I come from a Rabbanish family, they're good daveners. My husband, he goes to a late meeting. How do I know? They're crazy people like that also. The people like that also. Girls, I can't believe that. They get married the first after Shabbat. I can't believe he wakes up late. He wakes up, doesn't daven, down in the house.
There's a lot of that going on.
Gewalt. How do I know? Right away, there's a war going on. She thought she's marrying the Gadol Hador. She thought she's marrying the Gadol Hador. And now she discovers he's not the Gadol Hador. He's not the Gadol Hador. I thought he had a parnasa. I thought he was rich. I thought he had money. He can't support me. I don't want a boy that doesn't have money. I thought he would support me. He doesn't have any money. We're poor. I didn't want this marriage. What? So that's what he'll say. Kiddushei Tos. Kiddushei Tos. Right? So that's where it's going to end up. That's what's going to happen. Ezer Chacham Haroye Es Hanoilan. And therefore, Chazorboch, this, you play with fire. And Rabelsky, the story goes, he listened. He retracted his psak. Now, that was 15 years ago. Today, you hear stories in the news, and the mayor always tells me these stories. He will send me a link from a story like this, where there are rabbanim today who takedu kiddushei tos, And they, when they do Kiddushei Taurus, it creates a whole big fight and a controversy. In Eretz Yisrael, they love to fight. So there are Rabbanim today who are renegades. The Taka do this. Okay, if it's Nogei you, then, you know, people are very desperate. They'll do whatever it takes. And it creates a very big machloikas. Now, we have a, so the point I'm trying to make over here is that this is why it says Stamazoi Kidas Moshe V'Yisroel. Look what it says over here. Just read the words one more time. This is incredible what it says in the Malbim. HaMashem Metzayach Onyan Kiseh Tishachar Shirim Mechod HaMelech Metzayach Eich in the Pasuk Gimel Eich HaMelech Cholech Mehech Liyashem Meshloyel HaChsan Yishol Raya. So he's now walking to the Badekin. He's going to the Kaala. Veshamim Nitzava in Bnei Malachim. She's staying with her bridesmaids. It sounds like he's really going to the Chuppah. V'hiyo Medes Limeh. She's under the Chuppah. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like they're under the Chuppah. And look what it says now. V'hamishoyer, the singer, the composer of this Mizmor, Medabri Leha, he says to her, Shetikabel, Dos Yisrael, Harayat Mikudesh Asli B'tabazo Kidas Moshe the Yisrael. You're going to tell me it's not a coincidence.
The Mishorer
over here is the one who wrote this. The one who will compose this mizmar, and he says to her, it says Shimi Vas Ri'i Ve'ati Osnech V'Shikhi Amechu Ve'Savich. Translation: how do you translate Pasuk Yud Aleph? Kedas Moshe Mehareat Mekudesh Asli B'Tabazu Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. The translation of Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Malbim is: forget your nation where you come from. You're now coming into Das Moshe V'Yisrael.
Under the
Chuppah.
But this could be Erison.
This is, of course, it's Erison. This is Erison.
So then,
of course, it's Erison.
So
you want? She chleis nish. I don't know
she says,
how this works.
I am a Kabbalist. Das Moshe V'Yisrael. Then she goes to the mikvah. And then she has the
maybe it's tremendous chiddush. How this all works? That the eris is doubling up as a geirus, kabbalas hamitzvos. He's saying that is there such a thing that a man marries? Most people that are magayir today are to get married. That's a fact. Yeah. You're not going to deny this. But of course, there are many people that are magayir. There are a lot of people that are magayir because they fell in love with Yiddishkeit. But the reality is that probably a major chunk of the people that are Magayir today are, they met a boy or they met a girl and they really like them and they'll do anything to marry them.
Exactly.
And when the Shriga says, you're not going to marry my son unless you convert, I'll convert. Ivanka. Okay, Ivanka
so
Trump.
How many Rabbanim actually
do? They all do it. The only one, the Sardin don't do it. The Sardin don't do Gairus at all. Gairus is Osir by some. I don't know today how far it goes. What?
They won't marry into Gairus.
No, they won't let him into the shul.
Gairus is that hard for adoption.
I don't know exactly, but the Sardin, it used to be by the Sardin that was a ban. No such thing. No, they do not accept Gairus today. I don't know where they stand today. There are many different sidim, different versions, different sects, different achleses. I know nothing, but there is such a Kabbalah by sidim wherever it stands today.
As far as I know, the only time they allow it is adoption.
Adoption, okay, fine. But I think it's more complicated. I think already today there are different kihilos they do. Achleses, I don't know anything about it. I can't talk. But by Ashkenazim, you have Aaron Soloveitchik, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, Yehoreg Val Yavar. Also, did not allow Gairus. Did not go for Gairus at all. However,
I think one of the Soloveitchiks did marry.
Oh, it goes to show, right? It goes to show. But he was very against. I don't know all the Pratim. But it's known that Aaron Soloveitchik was not in favor of Gairus. However, everyone else, the RCA and the whole world, is. They are. And one of the problems of Gairus is, man, why do you want to become a Jew? Why? You really believe in Yahadus? You all of a sudden, how could, today, in today's Goyish world, it's impossible. Why would a person want to become an Orthodox Jew? It's a person who comes from a Goyish society, it's mind-boggling. They would really want to sincerely embrace Yahadus. It does happen. I'm not saying it does. There are many. But more often than not, it's because of issues. they want to marry, a girl meets a boy, Ivanka, there's no secret, Ivanka Trump dated Jared Kushner, and they were dating, and then it got to a point where he said to her, listen, you know, this is nice and fun here, but I can't marry you, because you're a guy, you're a shiksa.
She might have been sincere at a certain point, though.
No.
What?
At a certain
point, she might have been sincere.
He cut it off with her.
He told her, you're a shiksa, I can't marry you,
and
my mother will never left.
Told her, if you want him.
So supposedly the story is, well, what could I do that you could accept me? So you have to convert. So she said, okay, I'll convert. So he says, that doesn't work like that. You just don't go to a rabbi and they sprinkle some water on you to convert. You have to an Orthodox conversion is no simple thing. And she really, really wanted. Ad Dekach, she went to Rabbi Luchstein. Haskell Luchstein. And he is today a very powerful figure in the arts and rabbonis, and he has a program, and she studied by him for 2 years. Under his authority, he was megayer her. And so today, that's the case of the reason why she converted was clearly because
basically continuing on in an Orthodox manner versus a lot who got the guy her and she is
off. They dropped off.
No,
so that's the problem.
He never really was so.
Right. Echlesnish, I don't know.
Made sure
but this.
Lights, candles,
sure
yeah,
had
whatever.
Song.
What?
Herschel
was on the Bezdin, then it was a fact.
Sorry.
Okay, so if Herschel Schachter was on the Bezdin, if Herschel Schachter is top of the line,
he wanted the best kosher
Bezdin, the kosher of the highest order, and she was Megayer. So here is a case where many people would not accept this, because the reason why you're being Megayer is only because you want to marry someone. So is can we trust that your conversion is sincere? It is the Minhag Yisrael. Yes. It's done Maisim B'chol Yom. Maisim B'chol Yom. People, they convert only because they want to marry, but they become sincere. They do become sincere. They learn about Yadus, and they embrace it, and they thrive. Once they embrace Yadus, they see what it's all about. It opens up in them incredible koichos hanefesh. They say Ivanka Trump, when she comes to shul, she's the only one that davens. Everyone is just staring at her. Staring at her. What is she wearing? What is she doing? She's the only one that davens to sit from beginning to end. That's what they say. Okay, it's very humorous. I once saw an article. They had showed this newspaper article where they were going with their stroller to shul on Shabbos. And in the carriage in the stroller was the lulav and esrog, and the goyim had no clue what the lulav and esrog were, and so they wrote. They showed the picture. They wrote in the caption that Jared gave Ivanka flowers for the holiday. Och and they, if that's the flowers, if these are the flowers that a husband gives his wife, oi, some hadassin, and oiske klam to her shots. These are the flowers. And I was very disappointed. Jared does it, the shver didn't give the Edim a beautiful esher box. What kind of shver is this? Who's the shver? This Jared. Jared doesn't have a silver, gold, gorgeous esrog box. What kind of Nebuchadnezzar? This is the Aden. Who's the shver? Who's Jared shver? The shver is supposed to buy the Aden, this beautiful esrog. He has the same cardboard box that I have.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't know.
Okay.
Meanwhile, they're sending the kids to the local day school.
My mother, Allah Hashem, always said to me, you wait and see. You're going to one day walk in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go down in Geula. where what's the name of that Sfarim stores? That big Manny's is right around the corner from Mir. We go to Manny's, we'll make a left turn here, right turn here, and you're gonna look up and you're gonna see this magnificent building. Yeshivas Mir, the Trump building.
I doubt it.
She has three kids, guarantee one of them will be a Haredi. Guarantee one of the kids will be a Haredi sitting and learning in Kol Chazonish. Guarantee Trump's Ein Klach.
Netanyahu's
grandson is an Elul. He learned already the whole Shas. He knows more than many people put together. One of Netanyahu's, that's not a kasha. Netanyahu comes from good yichus. It's not a kasha. Netanyahu comes from good yichus. It's not a kasha. The chiddush is that Trump.
That he went off to Derek.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. But the Netanyahu is just as in coming back from where they come from. It's not a kasha. What?
Netanyahu married the shiksa.
What, the child that he has in the shiksa?
No.
The second wife was a shiksa. And he had children from the second wife?
And he had a conservative
wedding with her. Okay, it's not a kasha. And Netanyahu.
It was a
belegish. Not a kasha. Netanyahu, it's not a kasha. So the point here is, Mayor, you really bring up a magnificent point. It's a magnificent point. It's an unbelievable point. Today it is very, very common where women and men and women they convert because they want to get married to someone that they fell in love with. It's a mitzvah, and it's done. Ma'asim l'chol yom. And the minhag Yisrael is, we trust you. You want to marry him because you're under hate. You have to learn the halachas, and you have to tell us that you're sincerely willing to live a life as a shomer Torah mitzvahs. And it's done the chol yoyim. So now, this probably goes back from time immemorial. Shloima HaMelech is doing the same thing. And it's fascinating when you say Meir in this Malm is, maybe since the whole purpose of the marriage, only reason why you converted is because you want to get married, why not do a double ceremony? It's a double ceremony. The marriage itself is the Kabbalas Yadus. Isn't that what it is? Think about it. You have a woman today who has a conversion that's not so ayayay. Okay, she goes to some reform, and then the chassan doesn't care so much, and he marries her, and they get married, and they're under the chuppah, and the chassan, they have a real orthodox wedding, and there's a mesadik kedushin. He doesn't know it's really his job is to know. That's his job to know. But for some reason, he's delinquent in his, and he marries, and the boy says to the under the chuppah, I'm asking you a halachic shayla. That's what we learned over here today. I'm asking you a real serious question. You have a kala, and the kala had a conversion, not so ay ay ay, or maybe she never had a conversion. She was, whatever the case was, there was a misunderstanding, and the chosen under the chuppah, he says to her these words, Hare at mikudeshas libitabazu kidas. Moshe v'Yisrael. Kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. And she accepts it. And she goes to mikvah.
How does she accept it? At what point is she accepting it?
When the ring goes on her finger, she accepts it. When she lets the ring go on her finger, when the ring lands on her finger, and she, yes, she doesn't have to throw it off. She accepts it. Let's say 3 seconds pass. The ring goes on the finger, and
they
3 seconds
pass.
Like,
yeah?
To show that she accepts it. Yeah? To show that she accepts it. She accepts it. She's not mad. So I'm asking you, can we say, based upon this album, that since he said to her, Kidas Moshe the Yisrael, and she went to mikvah, isn't this a Kabbalah Skerus? A woman doesn't have. The Rishonim must talk about this. Someone must talk about this. A woman doesn't have bris milah. There are only two things she needs to do. Mikvah and Kabbalah mitzvahs. When a woman gets married, she goes to mikvah. And if the nusach of the Kiddushin is Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and the Malbum here, Mamish, look what he says over here, this Malbum. Look what he opens up. He's translating. Shinivas, young lady, listen up here. You're marrying a Jew. Forget about where you come from. Are you Mekabel? Do you accept your new religion? And she says, yes. Isn't this Kabbalah's mitzvahs?
Isn't mikveh supposed to be for marriage?
It's a whole shiloh. When is the mikveh? Before you can do the mikveh. There's a whole shiloh, the exact details. Right. Technically, the chorvitz nama akev to say there. Let's assume that to be the case. So isn't this amazing? That this formula that Chazal invented, besides our whole shiur of explaining why they invented this nusach of Kedas Moshe Nishol to be an escape clause in order to save Mamzerim, there's another whole new approach over here. Because how many times in the situation when a man marries a woman and the woman's not even Jewish? She's not even Jewish. She never had a kosher gerus. To be Jewish, you need to do two things. Mikvah, Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So here is the perfect moment. She went to mikvah. And now you say, Kedas Moshe the Yisrael. Just in case, I know that you come from a Ben Achaben, your father is a Ben Achaben Achaben from the Baal Shem Tov, but just in case, we Makabel Geros, I'm converting you right here and now. Haloi Dover, isn't this a Nayakabel Geros just in case? All right, that's our tomorrow. We have to go on. We're going to skip whatever else we want to talk about. We'll move on to Nupsukim tomorrow.